Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Dave Taylor. I'm a communicator. I'm a marketing and branding consultant for blockchain projects. I'm a startup co-founder, and I'm an advisor to Podigy on various things, including our great new ideas for the future of podcasting. And title of this talk notwithstanding, we don't actually really think it's dead. In and among my sort of day job of bullshitting about tech issues, I actually have a secret. I am, in fact, secretly a really, really big nerd. But I'm not actually a tech nerd. I spend a lot of time with tech nerds. Tech nerds are cool, but I'm a book nerd. I'm a storyteller. I'm a writer. I'm a reader. I believe in what we have to say, and I believe in the importance of being able to hear it. So it does kind of beg the question, why am I here talking about podcasting? I'm here because of this guy. Now, unless there's someone out there who's a Canadian of a certain age, you probably don't know who this guy is. His name is Lister Sinclair. He was a CBC radio presenter from the early 70s through into the mid 90s. And at 11 o'clock on CBC, he had a program called Ideas, where he would talk about stuff. It was pure theater of the mind. It was just thought. And as a little Canadian with nothing much else to do, I listened to this guy stay up late and hear the stories. So when I saw the death of talk radio and it became super syndicated and we had Howard Stern instead of people with actual real opinions, I felt very sad and I felt that we lost something. And then podcasting came along and the voices opened up again. There was a world of voices to be heard. And this was very exciting and it was very good. And unfortunately, it came too late and essentially has died in its current format before its time. The podcast is dead. Let's just even look at the name for a second, right? It's based off a concept of media consumption which is obsolete. How many people in this audience actually have an iPod in their pocket right now? That would be none. Because we don't use them. We stream. Data. Sorry about the old stats. A little hard to find 2018 that I didn't have to pay for. But Nielsen reports consumer listening time in the US. Now, podcasting is a little tiny slice of this thing marked other. So yes, it's out there. People are listening. But if it's not dead, it's not particularly healthy yet. It's the guy in Monty Python's Holy Grail going, I'm not dead yet. We live in a world where people communicate entirely in emojis. They put TLDRs on tweets. They put content warnings about how long you're going to have to read a short blog post. Oh, 7 minutes. Do I have 7 minutes to spend on reading this? And I mean, let's be fair, this is Medium. That's 2.5 minutes max. Now, I gotta say, if I skip backwards, I found this via BuzzFeed, and this, of course, did not surprise me. BuzzFeed has made an art out of taking all of the content out of their content, but this was done by Random House. That is the librarians at Alexandria going out and handing out matches to people and saying, burn the world down. When was the last time you saw a concept album? And again, I'm showing my Canadianism here with Rush. If you don't know them, please listen to them. They're fantastic. We have become impatient. We have lost the long form. TLDL, too long. Didn't listen. And yes, there are still people who follow it. There are always, nothing ever truly dies. And yes, the pendulum will swing back. But right now, the long form, the hardback book, the concept album, the 90-minute podcast, it intimidates us. We're goldfish. And that's about it. We're little children in a candy shop. We have a world, an absolute world of content to consume. And we're obsessed with opportunity cost. I'll taste this one, but I don't want to commit to it because look what I'm missing. If I spend all this time focused on one thing, I'm losing out on all these other things I could be trying, and maybe they're even better. So we walk around and we don't actually commit to anything. So the good news is, though, it's not the end, or it shouldn't be the end. We have hope that it isn't the end. Telling stories is humanity's oldest form of entertainment that doesn't involve bodily fluids. When Homer stopped being read as an epic, declaimed in front of a crowd, did we lose Homer? No, we didn't. Homer moved. Homer metamorphosized. Because the stories that we tell that matter, they inspire us, they give us hope, they give us life, they encourage us to explore, to dream, to think, to travel, to come to Berlin and talk about podcasts. Stories are part of the fabric of who we are. So what's the problem with podcasts? We're lazy. Let's be fair. If we think of the content consumption landscape we live in right now in the developed world, it is an all-you-can-eat buffet that is infinite. And we just want to keep sampling. We want it to be easy. We don't want to go out and find something. We want it to be delivered to us, nicely packaged. And we rely an awful lot on computers to emulate human engagement. We rely an awful lot on computers to recommend what we are going to listen to next, what we're going to consume next. Because, you know, we're busy people, right? We got stuff to do. We can't think about going and finding out what we want to entertain. We want to look at a screen and have it pop up. Yeah, why don't you listen to this playlist? Why don't you watch this video? Podcasts, they're not that easy. We're impatient. Music has fundamentally been changed by Spotify's compensation algorithm. They have a skip ratio, which means that if a song is skipped within the first 30 seconds, there's no compensation paid. Because we skip. Oh, no, don't like that one, don't like that one. We want instant gratification. This has come to the point that it has changed the way music is being produced and music is being released because we're so impatient. People would no longer, if you look at the, you know, classic rock, which would have these long symphonic introductions, it would never fly today because people would be like, whoop, 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 next. So yeah, lazy, impatient, and I'm not going to actually knock the impatience thing. I live in Switzerland. We don't really have Amazon there. And last time I was in Berlin, I was introduced to Amazon Now. And this blew my mind. You know, I grew up with the Sears catalog. You would look on a page and order something, and 3 months later, you'd maybe get it in time for winter. So it's not all bad. But we're fickle. Again, infinite buffet, infinite content. Why commit? Yeah. Today, I want to listen to classic rock, you know? Tomorrow, SoundCloud rap. Why not? And honestly, the only reason I'm using Fat Nick here, I'm not actually a big SoundCloud rap fan. You might be able to tell by the lack of facial tattoos, but he was the only one I could find who wasn't dead or a sex offender, so that's why we're using him. And we're bored. We are pathologically bored. Our level of sensory indulgence has risen to the point that if we don't have it, we start to feel its absence really painfully. So, room pull. How many of you have read a shampoo bottle? Because there's nothing else to read. Hands up. Come on. Honestly. A lot of you are lying, but I understand. Enough. Let's look at some data. And Google has crashed on me because technology is here to make our lives easier, but I think the presentation should continue. So here we have stats on, and this is why I can say podcasting is dead or it never really got alive. This is awareness stats from the US via Nielsen, I believe, on who's aware of podcasting. This is just who has heard that this podcasting thing exists. 64% of Americans in 2018 knew that podcasting was a thing. Now, if you look at the trend, you're looking at a maximum 4% year-over-year growth in awareness. This is not exactly spectacular, right? And when you put it into some comparisons, so here we have people who've actually listened to a podcast. Americans, again, easier to get the data sets. We're not even touching 25% who have ever listened to a podcast. Monthly, weekly, I mean, it's fractional numbers. So let's benchmark it. Terrestrial radio, damn near everybody. Online radio, still much better. International, any podcast within a month. So this is penetration numbers. Again, we need to be realistic. We want to talk about how this is going to work in the future. We have to be able to look with open eyes at the situation we have right now. South Korea is winning with 58%. Now, in this aggregation, there were some issues involving ambiguity of how online radio fit within the context of, is it a podcast, is it not, if it's not delivered according to a schedule. So bear that in mind. But the U.S., which is considered, and I've had many people here go, oh yeah, podcasting's really big in the U.S. 33%. Germany, 22%. Not so hot. So a little benchmark comparison. This is streaming revenues from music, just to give some context. There is no like-for-like comparison podcasting versus anything else. Podcasting's best estimate market share is 400 million. That is 2% of radio and 0.8% absolute maximum of music. So it's fractional, again. But if we look at how streaming adoption has gone just by revenues, it's now the lion's share, 75% as of 2019, the lion's share of all music consumption. So streaming is here to stay. If we look at it the other way, audio and video streaming is monstrous. 900 billion plus streams. That is absolute shit buckets of streaming going on. Again, it's not reflected at all in the podcasting numbers. I know that music versus podcasting is not a like-for-like comparison, but it is still competing in the marketplace for share of ear. You can't listen to both at the same time, or if you can, you're very talented. Are we ready for some good news? This is the most absolutely exciting time for podcasting ever. Not because of where we are, but because of where we can be. Let's look at some non-depressing stats, because there are non-depressing stats. This is from the IFPI 2018 Music Consumption World Survey. 17.8 hours of listening time average globally per week, 2.5 hours a day. We have amazing adoption of streaming. We have smartphone usage. We have an awful lot of usage in terms of the younger demographics. People are spending their entire time plugged in. Stands to reason, right? You don't want to interact with human beings. Put your headphones on. We need to get some of this share of ear. We need to get into the share of mind. We need to make people understand this is something they can listen to. Bit more, again, driving, commuting. I wouldn't actually, this is music. I'm not sure people would want to listen to something spoken while they're studying, but hey, going to sleep, relaxing at home, cooking, cleaning, exercising. And I left this one in because who listens to music when they're at a concert? Like, you know, yeah, I'm at a concert, but I'm going to listen. This should be really exciting. I mean, this is something we can access. But the thing is, this is supported by hundreds of billions of dollars. This is big business. Again, more streaming. It's absolutely, absolutely overwhelming to look at the number, the volumes for streaming. And podcasting isn't streaming. And that's the elephant in the room. We're now able to see, when you look at this, if you see here, we have smart speaker adoption going up, we have social media. All of this is extremely important because music is here. You can say, Alexa, you know, play me Despacito. You can't say, Alexa, tell me about Republica 19. Alexa will just go, I don't care, because we're not there. Why not? but it's still extremely exciting. The potential is enormous, and we are at a technological cusp that we're able to move forward onto it. So what do we need to do? Because it's not very proactive of me to stand up here and say, bad, and no suggestions. Everybody loves a challenge? Because there is a challenge here. This isn't just me. We need to get streaming, and it's not the delivery mechanism. We have the technology for the delivery mechanism. I think everybody here realizes there is fundamentally no technological difference between streaming a piece of music and streaming a podcast. The problem is the community. The problem is the podcasting is intrinsically kind of elitist. It's kind of niche. It's a little bit difficult, and we like it like that. It makes us special. And I can get this. You know, I live in Switzerland. I work in blockchain. I understand what it's like to be in my niche. But they're not coming to us. We have to go to them. If we want our voices to be heard by this massive, massive market, we need to come to them and say, hey guys, try listening to this. So we need better delivery. And this means better formatting. What do I mean by better formatting? And I know how many of you are actual podcasters out there? Oh God, don't kill me. Shorter segments. You're competing for share of mind from a popcorn-eating population. If you come and you make something 2.5 hours long, it's intimidating, they'll go to something else. If for that 2.5 hours long, it's made up of 15-minute segments, all of them separately tagged, arranged in a series, it's not as intimidating. They'll sit down. I don't have 2.5 hours. I have 15 minutes on my drive to work, so I'll listen to this. But again, it's like popcorn. It's like watching things on Netflix. You say, I'm only going to have a small amount, and you just consume it all. We need better metadata. This is a really big issue. An obsolete iTunes format is not acceptable for podcasting. It doesn't contain enough granularity. It doesn't contain enough accuracy. It's not searchable. Right now, the entire podcasting industry, the entire community suffers from the dictionary paradox. You have to know what you're looking for before you can find it. If you get recommendations, odds are they suck because the data is subjective, it's not objective. If you look for a book in the library, you're using an objective system of classification. You find what you're looking for. When you search for something by tags, you get a subjective system of classification. You get what the producer thought they were talking about at the time. So you end up with issues with timeliness. Podcasting is no longer, it's getting older, you know? A 10-year-old podcast about American current affairs and presidential elections is going to be very different than one produced now. I need to get moving faster. So we need better searchability. And then we need new channels. Smart speakers. Touched on that. We have to get onto smart speakers so people can access it in their private life without having to have too much agency. We need interstitial content. How do you win against someone like Spotify? First of all, you don't let them get the rights to your work. That's a big one. But you make it so that people can treat podcasting the way that radio used to be. I want to listen to 30 minutes of my music, and then I want to listen to 15 minutes of my podcasts. Make your own radio channel. Man, we need a community. Community is a really big one. We can't do this alone. None of us can. No individual hosting service, producer, anything can change the world. We all have to do it together. Or a big monster like Spotify or Google or someone who has millions with lots of zeros at the end of it is going to come in and just throw a bunch of money at it and say, we did to podcasting what we did to video sharing with YouTube. We now own your content because we own the dominant channel. That means open standards. That means registered copyleft, Creative Commons, whatever. Get it licensed before they do so they can't exploit it. And we need easier sharing. So on this front,
We have a manifesto.
Because every good call to action requires a manifesto, and because in 25 years of being a professional writer, I had never written one. So I give you my life's work. We need to rise to this challenge. Please, come read it. We want you to contribute to it. There's a sign up for a newsletter. Please sign up. We want to make this a community activity. We want to make this open source. We want to make this freely accessible, and we want to have it so it betters all of you. So I'll leave you with the words of good old Lister there. Same old eyes, same old world, but the difference is how you look at what is in front of you, not what it is. Thank you.